This is the most joyful and yet sad week of the year. And it's the most joyful because every single day we celebrate the glorious, magnificent resurrection of our Lord from the dead. What an immense joy it is for us. And of course, when you believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and God, that he has died for our sins and has risen to give us life, then how can you not be joyful? No matter what else life presents to us, we are still joyful. And so we see in the lessons of today that he fulfills, St. Paul in the Acts of the Apostles preaches to the people, mostly the Israelites, but not only, that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And that though they did not believe in him, though they had a foreigner, a pagan, Pontius Pilate, kill him, nevertheless, he has risen from the dead, and he permitted that, he willed that in order to save us. And then, of course, in the Gospel, we see one of his first, though not his first, apparitions to the apostles. And, of course, they were all locked up for fear of the Jews. It's very interesting. I always find that both St. John and St. Luke and the others who were Jews themselves continuously say that they were locked up for fear of the Jews. It's almost as if they no longer considered themselves Jews. And, of course, there was a rift there, which took several centuries before it was completely broken. But nevertheless, they no longer considered themselves Jews. But they were. And so our Lord, because of them, comes secretly in hiding. They're locked up, and he doesn't need the doors open or the windows or anything else. He just stands in their midst. That is one of the properties of the glorified body that we also shall share in after the resurrection, not until after our own resurrection. Impassible bodies. It will be impossible for those bodies to suffer any pain, anything else, and we will be able to do as we will, like the angels and our Lord do at this point. And then, of course, they're afraid. Whoever had heard of such a thing, that a person should stand in their midst like this? Is he a ghost? And so he says, well, just to make sure you realize, look at my hands and my feet. Ghosts do not have flesh, and they do not have wounds in their hands and their feet. Because we have already on our altar the beautiful image as he appeared to St. Faustina Kowalska in 1938 in Krakow, of the Divine Mercy, the image of the Divine Mercy. All of this is of the Divine Mercy. For those who do not believe in the Divine Mercy, it is totally ruthlessly ridiculous. It is all the Divine Mercy. And the Divine Mercy, our Lord has his wounds. In heaven, he has his wounds. They are not erased. He bears them as jewels of his suffering and of his victory. And from those wounds, in particular, from his side, stricken open by St. Longinus, come forth white rays and red rays, representing the water and blood that came forth from his most sacred heart. The mercy, the divine mercy of the sacraments. And then, of course, even to strengthen their faith a little more, because they were weak, he says, have you anything here to eat? Because ghosts do not eat. Now, we understand that among pagan cultures, they take food to the tombs and put it there, and then in the morning they come back and it's gone. Well, guess what? Other people ate it, not the dead. The dead cannot come out of their tombs to eat that food. But this is not the dead. This is Jesus Christ, who has died and has risen from the dead and is getting ready to ascend into heaven. And so he asks for food to show them that he is really alive. And so he strengthens our faith, and we rejoice in him as we rejoice with the Blessed Mother. O Queen of Heaven, rejoice, alleluia. For he whom thou didst merit to bear, alleluia, has risen as he said, alleluia. Pray the Lord for us, alleluia. In nomine Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.